So let's pray tonight. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity we have to be together tonight. We thank you for the blessings that you have given to the United States of America. We thank you for the sacrifice of the veterans that we honor tonight and the patriots of this country. So we pray that you would bless the service and may Jesus be honored through all that is said and done. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. I'm Pastor Mike. If you're a guest with us at First Baptist Church, we're delighted to have you here tonight. While we're standing, turn and welcome those around you and greet them tonight.
Time in our program, our choir and band are going to recognize our veterans and those active duty by the song that we sing to your branch of the service. So please stand when we get to your song from your branch. And if you see the choir members salute, that's because that's their branch and they're already standing. They can't stand any more than they are. So please stand so that we can honor you at that point. Standing or stand if you would, if you're not standing, as we pay tribute to those who gave the ultimate sacrifice for our country. You may be seated.
Good evening, everyone. My name is Jane Edwards, and I've had the honor this year of helping to coordinate this service at First Baptist Church. First of all, I'd like to thank, on behalf of the committee, the Veterans Committee here in Dickson County, I'd like to thank all of you for coming, but I'd also like to thank the church for opening its doors and allowing us to have this service here. This year, we're going to do something just a little bit different, I think. I've attended this for the last several years, and you all may know I'm a veteran, but I also am the daughter of a career Marine. So patriotism and service mean a great deal to me. Now, I told Steve that the order of service was fine, but I cannot hear taps without just breaking down, so forgive me if I get a little emotional. But tonight, instead of having a huge long program, I'm going to introduce you two of my very favorite veterans. I felt like it was very important that since this was a church service, that we actually hear from veterans and we hear about their testimonies and what Christ has done for them in their lives. And so I'm going to introduce you to two of my very favorite veterans. One is my husband, Tom Edwards, who is an Army veteran. He served during the Vietnam conflict. He was a combat medic. And while he never deployed to Vietnam, thank goodness for that, I don't think he would have made it back, to be honest with you. He did serve during that conflict, and he's going to come and he's going to share his testimony about how his great-grandfather led him to the Lord. And then following Tom, and I'm not coming back up, but following Tom, Brother Al Anthony is going to come and share as well. Now, my Tom served during in the Army, as I said, as a combat medic from 1966 through 1968. Brother Al was in the Navy, and he served in Vietnam during the height of the Vietnam War, if y'all can remember this. He was in Vietnam from 67, 68, and 69. So without a lot of further ado, I'd like to ask Tom to come and give his testimony, and then as soon as Tom's finished, Brother Al's going to come and share.
Well, I was under the understanding that I only had 6 minutes. So it's pretty hard to give your testimony in 6 minutes of what Christ has done for me through my years in the service. And as you just heard Taps, it's emotional for me too, because my generation is one of the ones that is receiving Taps more and more each day. I was a combat medic, and I, as a lot of you know, I'm a little on the crazy side. So I was with a MASH unit, and let me tell you, it's all it cracked up to be on TV. At one time, I thought they were talking about us with the MASH. But we took wounded soldiers off the planes to our hospital, and every day, I think of my great-grandfather that gave me the knowledge of Jesus Christ so I could keep Jesus in my heart, to know that if something happened to me, I wouldn't die. Yeah, I'd leave my shell here on earth, but my spirit would go straight to heaven because I believed in Christ. And at times when you're looking up on soldiers dying every day, it really pulls at your heart to wonder if they are part of Christ's kingdom too. And my great-grandfather led me to Christ years ago. And as Brother Mike has said, You know, they can lead your great-great-grandfather, your grandfather, you know, they can lead you to Christ. But you have to bring it into your body, into your soul, into your heart. If you don't do that, you don't have Christ in your life. You've got to have it inside you. He's got to be there for you when you're in those dark times. My great-great-grandfather was a circuit rider. Was they rode into areas where Christ wasn't known, and he brought it to the Native Americans, the Shawnee Indian tribe. And in lieu of that, my great-great-grandmother is Shawnee. And my great-grandfather is the one that I knew for only about 12 years, but he's the one that brought Christ to me so I could bring it into my heart. He was a circuit rider too. And I'm going to show you something. This was the only thing that my great-grandfather left behind. He never had real estate. He never even had a house. He would let God take care of him. And he lived to be over 100 years old. But he wanted me, I'm sorry I break down every time I see this, because he wanted me to have this. This is his pocket watch he carried from 1876 until the day he died. This is the only thing he left behind in this world. Everything else was Christ. He believed that Christ took care of you. And at 6 years old, I will never forget it. I was there in the outside of his daughter's house, because he never had a house, and he raised 8 kids. But he was outside the house, and I said, "Grandpa," I said, "can I have that? See, look at that bird's nest up there." And my grandfather was 6'6", okay? He was tall. I mean, he looked like a giant, and his hands looked to me so long. And he said, "Do you want that bird's nest?" And I said, "Well, Grandpa, that bird will need it for next year." He said, "No, he won't. God takes care of the little birds, the sparrows." He said, "Look at them. They don't have anybody feeding them. God takes care of them. God takes care of them just like God in your heart can take care of you." And so after then, I brought God into my life, Jesus into my heart. And after then, I was baptized and became a member of God's holy military church. And God will take care of you, and if you just bring him into your heart. And I saw things that I never want to see again, and I hope none of you have to see again. And I just want to ask all the veterans that are in here right now, will you stand up, even in the choir? Will you stand up? Okay, you see these people? These people took care of our country when it was in dire strait and when it wasn't. We need to support our military, because our military depends on everyone sitting down. Thank you, veterans. So here's my thing. If you bring God into your life, he's going to take care of you. And he took care of me when I was having some bad times. Because let me tell you, if you've been through war or tales of war, because we were on the tails. We were getting ready to go to Vietnam and getting everything ready. And I saw that and was told that a combat medic only lasted 8 seconds in a war zone. That was the life expectancy of a combat medic. But I wanted to finish my education, so they took care of me. And that's what I did. But the people that are in the military support each other, and there's a lot of times that each and every one of us in the military rely on God. There's never, as they say, an atheist in the foxhole. Well, I can guarantee you, there's not an atheist in the hospital either, when they know they don't have much time to live. So, you know, this is why, you know, I brought God into my life, and I keep him in my life. I stray, you know. But since I'm 70 years old now, I know that I'm getting closer and closer each hour to not being here. As I tell everybody, I'm getting closer to dirt, and I am. You know, I'm about ready, no telling when, I could step off in the hole. But, you know, God has been good to me, and I've relied on God since I was 6 years old. And I love the Lord, and I praise him for what he's done for me. And I thank you for your time.
I'm Al Anthony. I've been a member here at the church going on 16 years this August. I joined others in saying this to our veterans. Thank you so much for your service and what you've given. I realize that I'm standing in the presence of some mighty great men. Some have served God in a fantastic way as Christians and as Christian soldiers, and some have paid a tremendous price for wearing the uniform of a United States military person. And so God bless you and thank you so much. And as I stand here and I look about, I realize that in all probability, I'm the one man that's least worthy of being here to give a testimony. For I'm in the presence of good men. But I'd like to share something from you, if I may, for a few minutes. It has to do with the book of Deuteronomy. If you have any knowledge of the book of Deuteronomy, you would realize that it only covers about a month's span, the whole book. And the primary person involved in the book of Deuteronomy is Moses. He's old in his age, and he's about to pass the torch to Joshua. And so he spends the latter week or so of his life talking to the Israelite people about their experience with God. And he began to tell them, and actually he said 11 times, to remember, and 10 times to not forget, do not forget. Over and over and over in the book of Deuteronomy, he's telling the people of Israel, as they were encamped in this place called Moab, looking over that promised land which Moses would never enter into. But he was there to encourage the people to remember. Now, I have this friend in Ohio. Actually, he's living in Kentucky. He and I have been close friends since the seventh grade. And he and I, well, we pulled a few shenanigans, as you know. And so I'm not going to go there. But anyway, every time I go visit my buddy, all we do is sit down somewhere over coffee and Coke or eat somewhere, and all he wants to do is talk about the way it was when we were young. And believe it or not, over the years, I have done more than any 10 people should ever do that I don't remember, but he comes up with all these stories of stuff that I did, which I didn't, you know, I think I didn't anyway, but anyway. And the only thing vivid that I remember as a young man, I was at a skating rink one night, and my wife came and pecked me on the shoulder and asked me to skate with her, and I did, and she couldn't keep her hands off of me, so I proposed to her. And so, anyway, so, I'm sorry about that. Anyway, I didn't mean to say that to embarrass my wife. That's just how it was. That was 50 years ago. But anyway, Moses said, don't forget, don't forget. And what he was talking about was this. The people repeatedly were joyous. When they came out of Egypt, oh, they were so happy and they were joyous. And in a little while, they started bickering and complaining. And all they did was complain to Moses about how bad things were. And Moses, in his last week of life, he reminded them, listen, don't you remember how good God was to bring you out of bondage? Well, I remember the bondage that I was in the 26th day of April, 1971, in a little mission right over here in a community center in Eastside. And I got saved that night. And God delivered me out of a bondage that I could not help myself with, and neither could the VA doctors, and neither could my wife, and things were just kind of getting out of hand without going to detail, but things were really going awry in my life. And then on the 26th day of April, it's a Saturday night, about 10 minutes after 8, standing on a green tile and a tan tile, for the third time, they sang Just As I Am, I finally surrendered myself to God, went to the altar and asked Jesus to come into my life, and I was set free of a bondage that had its hold in my life. And I turned and I looked as I was getting up, and here was my wife kneeling beside me, receiving Jesus into her life also. And so I remember those good times. Now, like many of you, I love my old music. I go out in the garage, I dial in the 50s and 60s music, and I sit out there and I love to kind of get into this melancholy thing, you know. Oh, I can remember where I was at when the Beatles sang their first song, and I remember the associations, and oh, I could just name a bunch of them. I can sing along with all of them, and I get into this melancholy state. I love it because I'm remembering the good things, not the stuff my buddy Clarence thinks about, not the stuff he's reminding me about, because you see, I was set free from that stuff and I was forgiven of it. And so I just want to sit and remember the good things. Now, in this week of sharing with the people, trying to encourage them, he tried to get them to focus on the past, not to remember the bad things that happened in their life, because listen, when I got saved, all of that was put behind me. That is not my testimony, how my life was. My testimony is what Jesus did for me. He set me free. He brought me out of bondage. And like the people of Israel, he fed me, he took care of me, he protected me, he guided me. He is with me now. So yes, I have a past with the Lord, but listen, in the very presence right now, he is my Lord and Savior. And not only that, Jesus will take me on into the future. See, the people of Israel, they could never realize and see that they had a future. All they wanted to do was dwell in the past. And let me encourage you, move on. Get out of the past. Stop thinking about how it was. And be grateful and thank God daily for the way that he has set you free, for the way that he has brought you out, for the way that he has stood you upright on a solid rock, for the way that he encouraged you every day, for the provisions that he has provided for you, for the family that you have, and for your church life. And most of all, never forget Jesus. Paul said this to the church, and I want to close with this thought. And I want to encourage the church, if I may. But Paul said this. He said, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your body a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you might prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. So my dear friends and my veteran brothers and sisters, all this put the past behind us. That was 50 years ago. Let's don't be like the Israelites and spend 40 years and never moving forward. It's been 50 years. Get out from under that bondage. Get out from under that rock. And realize that Jesus Christ has given you new life. And that he loves you. If you're here tonight, and I'm sure Pastor Mike doesn't mind me saying, if you're here tonight and you don't know for sure that if you died tonight that you would go to heaven, then I would implore you to look to Jesus and say to him, I don't understand all of this tonight. And I realize that my life has been in a form of bondage. And there are some things that I cannot put behind me, but I'm trusting you to take care of it for me. The church says this. Well, what are we to believe? You know, we're supposed to believe, right? And Paul, he expounded on this in the 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And so Paul, he re-embarked on the same story again and again to the early church. He said, well, if you don't know what to believe, let me tell you what you need to believe. You see, because the Bible says the devil believes and he trembles, but the devil's not saved. Oh, yeah, I know God. I know all about God. Jesus is the Son of God. That's not sufficient. Paul said this, that I have delivered unto you that which I also have received, and how that Christ died on the cross, that he was resurrected unto new life. Listen, we believe in Jesus, but we need to understand that on the cross he paid our sin debt. And because he paid the sin debt and was buried, you and I will rise again just like Jesus did. So we have a future. We have hope. Jesus said himself in the 14th chapter of John, that not your heart be troubled. If you believe in God, believe also in me, for in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, so that where I am, there you may be also. So those are words of promise. And so at the end of every funeral that I do, everybody wants to hear Psalm 23. But you know, out of Psalm 23, there's one verse that just really means so much to me. I hope it would mean much to you, because it speaks of the provision of Jesus. So I had a past. In the presence, I enjoy my fellowship with Christ, and what a loving Savior he is. He is my joy, my peace, and my hope. But then verse 6 of the 23rd Psalm says, surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, so I have a future. You have a future. And I pray tonight that your future, that your life is founded solidly in the Lord Jesus Christ, for there is no other. God bless you. Thank you for the privilege of being with you.
Let's all stand together. We're going to sing America the Beautiful.
America. be seated. Thank you here for being here this evening for this special service. Let's all stand together as we leave tonight. We're going to sing God Bless America. This is our prayer tonight. Let's sing it.
God bless America. Dismissed.